My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's the most resilient parasite?
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Can build cities, can transform the world, and rewrite all the rules.
That's what I'll be doing every single night.
Which is why...
No!
I have to steal it.
What are you talking about, Willis?
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
It's going to work. It's passable, okay? This isn't terrible.
The best in local, regional, and national sports.
With no hidden agenda.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. The Oregon Ducks tee it up 4:30 on Saturday against Idaho. Of course, the game will be right here on the home of the Ducks, 1080 The Fan. Our coverage begins, I believe, at 9 a.m., Jason, with Center and Saint tailgate.
We go all day, baby.
It is his third season at the helm, and joining us now, as he will every Thursday at 4 o'clock, at least we hope, it's the head coach of the Oregon Ducks, Dan Lanning. Hello, coach.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey. You know, I've got to give you an award. Suk and I have been doing this for 20 years together. You are the most punctual head coach of any head coach we have had a regular visit with. So congrats.
That's good. I appreciate that. Yeah, trying to be the best at that. Now, your guys' time. Especially knowing now you guys got to go from 9 a.m. till game time. Like, what do you got to talk about that whole time?
Oh, not us. I mean,
that's wild.
It's more of a station sort of thing.
Yeah, it'll be a bunch of different shows. Yeah,
we don't like to exert ourselves that much early in the season.
Yeah, we don't work on Saturdays. Come on.
Station thing. I was going to say, do you guys get a bathroom break? That's a long time.
Now, is your punctuality, is that just Dan Lanning, or is that someone helping you stay on schedule? Like, does it take an army?
I mean, I do get my schedule sent to me every day, and I have reminders built in and stuff like that on my phone, but it's certainly something that matters to me too, right? I want to be on time.
Let me ask you this. If you happen to be late involving the family and the missus, does she rub it in your face?
Yeah, but I've learned a lesson here. Never tell your wife the actual time you'll be somewhere, right? Always tell her later. And then when you're early, it's a huge surprise and it's great. So I don't get burned by that because I never – if I think I'm going to get home early, I don't communicate that.
Right. That is such a wild,
so it's a win.
Everyone take note of that, because there's nothing worse than when you're playing around a golf or whatever, or you're out with some buddies, you're like, oh, honey, I'll be home by 10. You know you're not getting home by 10. Why say 10?
Yeah.
Push it later.
I mean, if you play golf, we all know golf takes 7 hours. It doesn't happen that fast, right? And then if you play 9 and you only get 4 hours in, then that's different, right? So
What trips did you take this off season before we dig into football?
Yeah, I had a buddy got married in Miami, so Sophia and I went down there to be a part of his wedding. He coaches for the Giants, so got to see some friends and experience that. And then we went back to Missouri to the Lake of the Ozarks and had her family and my family kind of hang out with us down there at the lake. And then for the most of the summer, we were kind of out here in the Pacific Northwest. We went to the coast for a little bit. We went to Lake Coeur d'Alene. And then try to be around Eugene as much as possible.
Did you have, was it the class reunion this summer?
It was, yeah, class reunion. So when we went back to Missouri, we stopped by there for a 20-year reunion.
Yeah, and you were,
that was fun.
You were in charge of it because you were class president, is that right?
Yeah, but we got a strong class, man. There's no slackers in our class. They all chip in. You know, it's really just show up and hang out with each other. There's not a lot that's required at this point. You know, I guess send out Facebook invites, which I don't know how many people are still using that or not, but that's, we got most of our class there. We didn't get them all there. We only had 92 people in my graduating class, so we had a good group.
Let me ask you this. You know, being a public figure and, like, the salary out there, do you have to pick up the tab? Is it implied, or were others reaching for their wallets as well?
Everybody reaches for their wallets, but, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Right?
You're picking up
the
tab.
You got to take care of it. Yeah, absolutely.
But I appreciate that at least they made the, no. Well, let me. But it's kind of a slow reach. I appreciate that.
No, they were all more than willing to, but that was something we wanted to be able to. I mean, that there's responsibilities to being the class president, right? You gotta pick up the slack.
I like it.
So this is Oregon coach Dan Lanning here with us each Thursday at 4. So I wanted to ask you about helmet communications with players. You know, that's for the first time that's legal. Just generally, how has that adjustment gone for you so far?
I'm really anxious to see, you know, game one and what it looks like. You know, the switch will go off at 15 seconds, so that's going to be something that's a little bit different in the game, because in practice you kind of just have to hold yourself accountable. You don't have a switch that turns it on and off, you know, so that'll be one piece that's different. But we've practiced it all fall camp. Our coaches and players have done a really good job with it. I think it's really important as a coach that you don't give too much information and you let your players go out there and play. So that's something we're going to, you know, make sure that we monitor and self-scout ourselves after the first game. Like, how was this? How could this be better? But I think it would be something that could be a really cool advantage and something we're going to take advantage of when we get out there.
So it'll be Dylan Gabriel and Jeffrey Bossa with the green stickers. Is that right?
Yeah. And I mean, obviously that can change based on who's in the game. You're allowed to have one player, you know, that can be the green dot on the field at all times, except for non-live kick. So still only a one dot can be on the field for punt, punt block return. Like, you can only have one, but if you were doing kickoff or kickoff return, you could have multiple green dots on the field.
Okay.
Obviously not a lot of people are going to have their quarterback out there on kickoff return or kickoff. So it really doesn't necessarily matter, but you're not required to monitor it there.
And then the coach, so I assume Will Stein will be talking to on the offense. And then is it Tosh Lapoy? Is it you? Who's on the defensive side?
That's right. Yeah. So Tosh will have one, we'll have one, and then I'll have communication ability as well. But again, too many people talking can get pretty cloudy.
That's what I was wondering. Like, you know, obviously you said it cuts off at 15. So, you know, communicate the play. Is it a practice for your coaches too? I mean, obviously maybe a little tidbit. Hey, look at this safety, a little reminder here. But is there something you guys have to be aware, like you said, of not trying to put too much in a short period of time?
Yeah, so we spend a lot of time talking about what's worth sharing and what's not, right? And what kind of alerts do we want to be able to get our quarterback and not? And I think I've probably told you guys this before. Like, on Thursdays, we kind of play the game before the game. So we watch a TV copy. We actually had those players up there with us today as we went through it with our coaches. And, you know, we're communicating, hey, Dylan, this is what we're going to be saying to you here in this situation. Or vice versa, Jeff, you know, this is what we'll be communicating to you in this situation. So should be good.
What are you looking for? I mean, game one, and look, I'm not trying to make light of Idaho and not asking you to or anything like that, but I mean, obviously, you know, it's the first game, you know, whether it's Georgia or whether it's Idaho. What are you looking for out of game one? You know, new quarterback, a lot of new faces. What are we looking for, you know, overall out of game one?
To play the best we can possibly play, right? I mean, we're our measuring stick. We're competing against ourselves each week. That won't change regardless of the opponent, but I just want to put our best foot forward. Whatever our best is that we can accomplish, that's what I want to see on the field, and regardless of who opponent is. But to do that, to play good football, you got to play clean. You got to make sure you don't have any self-inflicted wounds. You got to take care of the ball. You got to create explosive plays and prevent explosive plays. So, I mean, those are the things that you're going to walk away after this game and say, okay, did we do those things? And if not, how do we improve it quick?
Give me one or two guys that maybe people don't know about that maybe by tomorrow, or I guess it'd be, you know, a couple of days from now, that maybe people will be talking about.
I don't ever do that, man. I mean, I appreciate the question, but like, watch the game. You guys watch the game and you'll see who you're excited about. And I'm not one for, you know, making big predictions or hypotheticals. There's a lot of guys on our team that have played extremely well through fall camp, and I think they'll create some excitement. But To single out one or two, I think is probably a disservice to all the other guys that have really worked extremely hard as well. So I think there are going to be several surprises with our team and several guys that could make an impact.
Well, I was watching that Team Out West, you know, your big social media show that you guys put out. And in there, you were talking about, I think you were addressing your coaches. You guys were in Central Oregon or wherever you guys went. And you said something interesting. You said, you know, we have a lot, we know our starters, we know our studs, but our middle guys and our depth, you know, needed to kind of be worked out. A lot of those guys were young. Just in general, how do you describe how that development process has gone as we're up to week one here now?
Well, it never stops, right? I think we've done a good job of getting guys. What we always talk about is above the line play and below the line play. I think we've gotten several guys that we think can play above the line football, mean winning football for us, but there's still more to get there. And then there's also the acknowledgement that can change, right? You can be above the line today and not be as good tomorrow, right? So that part never stops, but I've been really pleased with our development so far of those guys and excited to continue to see more.
Was it weird to have the camera following you around, or is it one of those things that after a while you forgot it's there?
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, I mean, it's not that weird, but they do a great job of not. They're never intrusive. Like I mean, I always like it. That's not we're working, but I also acknowledge the job that they've done for us. That has been really cool to give our fans an inside peek at you know how our programs run. I think it's a huge tool for us in recruiting to be able to talk to a player and say like, hey, if you come here, this is what you're going to see. So they're around a decent amount here. And our staff does an unbelievable job of putting together a great product. But to say that you don't notice them, I mean, that would be a lie.
Do you check in with recruits on that stuff and just ask them what their opinion is? I mean, is everything kind of vetted through the eyes of recruits?
No, I wouldn't say everything's vetted through them. I think it's vetted through what we want our program to be represented by. It's not going to fit for everyone, right? Our program is going to fit the right guy, and that's the key. Is we want to give a really clear picture of who we really are, right? Not pretend, not you know make believe in any way. We want to give a clear indication of what is it like to be a part of our program, and then they get to assess that and see if it fits. But it's certainly stuff that we share with those guys whenever we have that material.
So it sounds to me like, you know, I think a lot of coaches would balk a little bit at putting out so much social media content. But for you, did it take a lot of convincing to get you on board with all that? Or is it just simply that? It's just, hey, this helps us in recruiting. Let's do it. I'll suck it up.
Yeah, I mean, look, the best way to win games is have great players. And I think that's something, again, it's not just recruiting. I think there's some people in our creative team that work extremely hard. And I think they appreciate being a part of a program where they can be creative and, you know, have some access. And certainly we look at it whenever it's done each week and we say, no, that can't be in there. Take that out, right? Or remove some things that we think might give somebody else a competitive advantage. But ultimately, I think it tells a great story of, you know, who we are, our team, and, you know, what things are kind of going on in the program. So, I mean, I've had my own family members say it. So, like, what exactly do you do in the spring? Because you guys only have games in the fall. Like, I think it gives a better indication and picture of how much work goes in to creating a season. And the part that maybe I'm most excited about is how it's highlighted the support staff around the building, whether it's a janitor or greenskeeper or people, you know, whoever that might be, our equipment managers, like those guys deserve all that praise and recognition. And it's pretty cool to give a back, you know, backdoor view of that.
This is Oregon's Dan Lanning, and this will be the last line of questioning to get you out of here. But you teed that up perfectly because we have done segments on Wilson Love. Based off,
oh, yeah,
what, yeah. Based off what we've seen on on that show. So I have an audio quiz for you. So we've got okay. So one of these is going to be Wilson Love. The other is going to be our dear friend here, Jason Sakanik. So let's see if you can guess which one is which. Here is the first.
Get it.
Who is that?
Well, I get to hear them both first.
Yeah.
Damn it. Okay. All right. That's fair. Hold on.
They're both so idiotic. Oh, that's so hilarious. Wilson is awesome, but I feel like I've never heard him say it that many times.
Okay.
Give me the first one.
Get it.
I don't know. I mean, it could be the second one. Well done. Somebody's a great actor. Yeah, give me the second one. It's the second one.
No, I think that's right.
Yeah, second one.
It is number two. Yeah. That's right.
We got you on the first one. That was me doing an impression of Wilson Love after I watched.
Yeah, that guy's an animal. Yeah,
there's a lot. Walk around our building, you'll see a lot of impressions of Wilson. Man, he's such a joy to work around, and does an unbelievable job with our guys.
Do all strength and conditioning coaches nowadays, because this wasn't like this when I played, but I feel like this is now what a strength and conditioning coach has to be. Like this just, like Red Bull, if a Red Bull was a person.
Yeah, he's definitely that. I'll say this. No, they are not all like that. I think the best ones are genuinely themselves, right? I've been around some that have great energy and enthusiasm. I've been around some that weren't necessarily like that. That could still be really effective and good. You have to be you. Yeah. Wilson is authentically himself every single day. Do I enjoy having one that has some juice and energy? Absolutely, because that's a place where I think it's required sometimes, right? And I think the players are going to match your passion and energy.
Does he ever scare you, like where you don't see him coming, like you turn a corner and then it's just there and it's a little startling?
Oh, man. So Wilson, I wouldn't say I ever get scared, but when I was a GA at Alabama, Wilson was a GA in the strength world. So we were both kind of like at the bottom of the totem pole a little bit. And man, I've got some unbelievable stories that I can't share with you, but he's always had great juice. And he's exactly the same guy today. He's got, you know, unbelievable family, but he's exactly the same guy today he was then, just with more experience.
Oregon coach Dan Lanning, he'll be with us here on The Fan every Thursday at 4. Thanks, coach. Good luck on Saturday.
Yeah, appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
All right, we'll talk to you again next week.
Hey, I feel pretty Dan good in that my Wilson Love impression got him.
You did get him.
Yeah.
He didn't know.
No.
We stumped him.
He got him the second time, though. The second time
through. Well, I think he just guessed.
Yeah.
He didn't know.
No. Feel pretty good about
it. If you don't
know
Wilson Love, he is the Oregon strength and conditioning coach, and there's an episode of that Team Out West that features him, and boy,
And if you want an even better look,
wow.
Ole Miss is where he was before this.
Wow.
That's where they did a thing on him when he was at Ole Miss, and that's where that's where that comes from.
Wow.
Boy, he is just, again, if you just took like the Red Bull mascot and just morphed him into a real life man, I give you Wilson Love.
God, it's obnoxious.
That's that genuine enthusiasm, Rob.
I know. Well, he said, it's interesting. He said, not all of them are like that.
Yeah.
All right. There's Dan Lanning. He will join us every Thursday at 4, the Dan Lanning postgame show, next on The Fan. Okay. All right.
Don't look now, but Howard has cut this lead to 7 at the half.
Shiano.
Our bison.
What the hell? Rutgers and Howard. Well, I mean, look.
That vicious cockfight.
At least it's college football.
It means nothing until Howard hangs on to this thing and makes it a game in the fourth.
We have a bunch of games tomorrow, too. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Jonathan Smith's debut with Sparty, I believe.
Yeah, Friday games.
And we got Sunday, too.
So I gathered.
Don't forget about LSU and, and USC.
So wait, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I think, isn't there usually one on Monday night? This time of year?
They had done a Labor Day one before. I don't know if they are this year.
I'll scroll down for you, see if I can find that.
That is hot.
It is hot. And then the NFL comes along and, you know, everyone bows down to it.
As they should.
Absolutely.
So I learned that I think Dan Lanning doesn't care for all the social media stuff, but gets why you have to do it.
Understand.
Which is more than some coaches can say, right?
Yes.
But he's got a whole team that does it for him, which probably makes it a lot easier.
Yeah.
And they respect the boundary.
He tolerates it, and you know those guys are really good at what they do. I mean, you make the argument it's the best marketing program in the country.
It was interesting to hear he said they vet it all. They go through and say, we can't have that in there. Take that out of there.
Well, and they do that with and we do it, by the way. We do have a Monday game.
Who's playing?
Boston College, Florida State.
Bill O'Brien. Against Florida State.
That's right. And that'll be a 7:30, so I'm guessing that's East Coast time, so maybe 4:30 kick here on the West.
And the headset stuff is interesting, too. That's going to take some getting used to. I know a lot of coaches were talking about more players having the green dot would be better, because you're still going to have signals. Because, you know, Dylan Gabriel, particularly on defense, you know, Jeffrey Bassa, he still has to relay. He gets it in the headset. He still has to relay it to the entire team.
Yes,
which would be nice if there were a couple of guys that could get that and relay it to half the field or whatever.
But they don't in the NFL. Everyone's got the one dot, and that's just the way it is. And it does make sense. You would think that, in all honesty, even in the NFL.
Just multiple guys.
Everyone have
because you got to tell them anyway.
Well,
so.
Why wouldn't everyone have a dot? That way, you could just tell everyone the play. I mean, it kind of makes sense that if you communicate with one, why can't you communicate with them all? But
that's
you know.
True. And I would think with quarterbacks, you know, like Will Stein, because he was talking about the fine line of saying too much on the headset to your quarterback. I would think they wouldn't need to tell Dylan Gabriel much.
No,
but
for
a guy like Dante Moore or Austin Novosad, those guys are young. I would think that they would, you know, the chatter on the headset would be, you know, you'd ramp it up for. This would be more helpful for guys like that than Dylan Gabriel.
My guess is I mean, the play itself, right? So the play ends and it clicks and you've got, you know, however much time to get it in.
15 seconds.
15 seconds, right? So you got 15 seconds. I mean, the play itself is going to take, you know, and it's not like an instantaneous thing where the guy immediately has the play. He may take a second or two and be like, okay, this is what we're going to run. So by the time you get the play done, you know, that's probably 4 to 5 seconds right there. The quarterback acknowledges, nod the head. So you're really talking about, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 seconds to convey something. There's only so much that can be conveyed. My guess, having never had the dot, we didn't have that when I was in college, we didn't have it when I was in the NFL. But my guess is it's something along the lines of let him process the play, because that's the thing. The guy still has to regurgitate the play or make sure he has an understanding. And then it's probably going to be something as simple as watch on the backside. This is the progression that we're looking at. Watch the strong side safety. Hey, if this comes down, make sure we're swinging the ball this way. And it's probably going to be something as simple as that. And that's it.
Yeah.
Or hey, don't be afraid to check to this if they give me this look. And then after that, you're gone.
Yeah, but I think that's really, really, really helpful.
Sure.
For a coach who has his eyes on the game. It's what he's seeing to be able to just relay little nuggets like that could be very helpful for offenses.
Absolutely.
I just wonder, do you think it will slow down offenses or could slow down offenses that are trying to go fast because you have to relay, you know, you have to get it in and then you have to relay it to the team?
Yeah, I mean, I guess in theory, but if you're going tempo, you're not going to slow down.
No, you're probably just going to do hand signals you always do.
If you're tempo, it's hand signals or it's in his ear, maybe even still a wristband, because the whole point of tempo is you're there. What you will get as beneficial is the teams that go no huddle, because then you're on the line of scrimmage, and the longer you're on the line of scrimmage, the more you have to then up top to look at the defense and maybe go from there. So no huddle teams that aren't necessarily going fast with experienced quarterbacks, this will be a big advantage. Like Lane Kiffin talked about this, that getting right to the line, making the defense line up, and then giving Lane as much time as possible or his offensive coordinator up in the box to be able to look at something, it gives you more time, because then you have 20 seconds that you can sit there and try to regurgitate something to your quarterback or give him a little tip here. But an advantage, yes. I just don't know I think there's a misconception of how much you can squeeze in. I think, and that's why I thought it was interesting that Lanning said, they call the game, they know sometimes less is going to be more, and you can't just flood a guy with all that information.
Yeah, I got the sense that from talking, we've now had him on, did we have him on the first year? I think we did.
I think we've had him on the whole time.
Yeah, I get the sense that over time they have revamped their headset chatter a little bit, because I remember him talking about, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, but he was talking about how chaotic it gets. And I think that's a very important thing that people don't, obviously we don't have privy, we're not privy to, but it probably gets wild on there. So less is more. Will Stein talking to the quarterback, that's about it. Lanning can chime in, but Tosh Lapoy talking to Bossa or whoever else.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yep.
And everybody else shut the hell up.
You definitely don't.
Including you, Wilson Love.
You definitely don't want a lot of voices. I can only imagine how chaotic that is. And it probably helps to be at home, because then you have a quiet crowd, you know, and being able to talk to your quarterback. You see it all the time. You know, you got the hands up on the helmet, and sometimes the quarterback has to kind of do the, you know, say it again. And some of the plays, and I don't know how Oregon calls their plays, but like in the offenses that I was in, like a West Coast scheme, those plays are not
Yeah, it's long.
It's long.
You got to really hear.
Yeah, you watched quarterback.
Yeah, of course.
You know, some of that stuff is, you know, and Mariota sitting down, it's speaking a foreign language. Now, to be fair, like as an O lineman, like 75 to 85% of that meant nothing to me. But to a quarterback and a receiver, yes, that stuff, you have to understand all of that. And only 25% really doesn't matter because then you're talking about protections. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how this goes because none of these people have really done it before, which also behooves a team like Oregon to have a couple kind of layups at the beginning of the season to work through the kinks.
All right, coming up next on In the News, which celebrities will be here for Portland Comic Con? And did Ron Guidry's son really kidnap Greg Swindell's daughter?
What?
I knew that'd get your attention.
I saw the Greg Swindell's daughter. I did not see a Guidry angle to this. Okay.
Because we've talked about it, the number of Greg Swindell rookie cards that I had and was planning on retiring off of, astronomical.
Well, I thought it was the Greg Swindell Team USA card. Wasn't that the big one?
Yeah, but I just had the, I didn't have that. I had the.
He was supposed to be so awesome.
I had the Cleveland Indians rookie card, not to be confused with the 17,000 Craig Jeffries cards that I also had. Those two guys were like, I thought they were going to be the greatest thing known to man.
Wasn't it Greg?
No, it was Craig Jeffries, isn't it?
Greg Jeffries.
Is it Greg Jeffries?
Yeah.
Yeah, Craig was the mistake card.
Oh, yeah. The great Greg Jeffries.
And that was worth a lot of money.
Well, it turns out
Greg Jeffries was pretty good for a time.
Not really.
Can I get his stats real quick before we get out of here?
Pull it up right here.
Yeah. Give me his stats.
Okay.
How many seasons did he play? He
played 14 years.
Okay.
So he came up with the Mets when I was a kid. He was a Royal for a little bit, too,
yes,
wasn't he?
Yes, he was. Yeah, we had him later in his career.
Yeah, when he came up, you know, like...
Professional ball player.
Professional ball player. So you want his averages or his totals?
I'm going to guess he hit 275.
289.
Wow. Okay.
That's better than I thought.
And you said 14 seasons, so maybe... Did he get to 200 home runs?
126.
What else did he do?
He had a couple. How many?
1,500 hits.
Hits. Let's see.
1,400 hits.
Where you got for hits? Yeah, 1,500.
Okay.
You know what? That's better. That's better than I thought.
Best season.
His best season was with the Cardinals at the age of 25, and oh my God, dude, he hit 342.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
He hit 342 with 16 and 83.
Good little player.
That is
good little player.
Then you know what? I apologize.
Great little player.
You should get him on, Buckley, and Sue can apologize to him.
Yeah,
because he went to the same high school as Barry Bonds and Tom Brady.
Did he really?
Yep.
Wait, Barry Bonds and Tom Brady went to the same high school?
They did.
In
Marin or San Mateo, excuse me, Northern California.
Damn, dude.
Well, when he came up with the Mets, like that's he intense. Was viewed as like the guy, and he was always just.
Also, Jeremiah Masoli.
That's a hell of a run right there.
I mean, let's not throw him in that.
Hey, Masoli.
David Bakhtiari, pretty good offensive tackle.
He's
at least
better.
He's a pro.
Oh, Bakhtiari, for when he was healthy, was one of the best tackles in football.
Football.
And Lynn Swan.
Wow.
Grief.
What a high school.
Yeah.
Junipero Serra High School in San Mateo.
Ritzy, I bet.
We don't have that at mine.
I mean, it's like a, I think it's, I mean, he was a saint. I think it's a like private Catholic school.
Salina Central has Terrence Newman and Brent Venables.
Oh, that's
those
not
are
bad.
Salina Central graduates.
We have Mark Madsen and Randy Wynn.
Okay. Randy Wynn's a nice guy. We golfed with him once.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. I worked with him a little bit.
Good dude.
We have at Mountview High School.
What do you have? Jason Sakanik.
We have Jason Sakanik. We have Ryan Lindell.
Luke Anderson.
Yeah.
Who was a kicker in the
he
NFL.
Was good. Yeah.
And then we had who was the
what's his nuts?
We had a really good lineman that played for the Titans for a bunch of years. And why am I drawing a blank on his name? He's by far the best thing that Mountview has ever produced. He played it.
You should know this.
He played at Eastern Washington. He was a basketball player that converted. Oh God, why can't I think of his name? Oh, dude, I am drawing a complete and total blank. And for that, I apologize. Because he made a couple Pro Bowls too.
Was it Michael Ruse?
Yes.
Is that it?
That's it.
Drafted by the Titans.
Yes.
Yeah.
I guess
Mountain View. And by the way, he looks just like Will Ortner.
And I guess Don't tell Will that.
And
Will will continue to get a big head. I guess the cool story is he had never played football, and I think he was like a sophomore or a junior, and he's walking around the school. He's a big, tall, skinny kid. And someone was like, hey, you should try football. And they like made him a tight end, and you know, he just was kind of an afterthought. And someone from like Eastern Washington was like, hey, we'll take a flyer on you, put some weight on him, and made him a tackle. And he went on and was a really, really good NFL player for a number of years.
He was born in Estonia. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
And since retiring from pro football, he has picked up curling. He is trying to make the United States curling team.
Is he really?
Yeah, him and Mark Bulger.
That's kind of kick-ass.
So random.
That is so random. But what else are you going to do? He's probably retired at like, what, 30? Yeah. You know, he's probably 38 or something.
Drink your drinks, baby.
Yeah, what else are you going to do? But he is by far the best thing that Mountain View High School has ever produced.
Career earnings, Michael Roos.
$30 million? 25? Bet you he got a couple good contracts in there.
$47 million.
Hey-o!
How about that?
Yeah.
I think that's more than Joey.
Yeah, I do think that beats Joey.
About that.
Yeah, he made a Pro Bowl and was first team All-Pro in 2008. The great Michael Roos.
All right. In the news is next. Here's Buck.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey. Yeah.
All right, nice to have you along here. It is hot out there, Jason. It's 92 degrees.
Sweltering. I had to turn my sprinklers back on.
I know. I did too, fella.
Not happy about it.
It's a rough life for us.
First world problems.
Middle class white folk.
Yeah, and there was my yard got a tinge of brown in it. I can't have that.
Actually, you can.
Don't. No. No, you can't.
You can.
No, I like a luscious green lawn.
It is August 29, 2024. It's time now for In the News. I am your noted newsman. Hello. Thank you so much. Pleased to have you along. Thank you.
Hello.
Today is Individual Rights Day. Okay. Of course, you've been stripped of all of those.
Thanks a lot, Obama. I love when we act as if we're the only ones that have freedom.
Wait, what?
Well, it's people like, yeah, America, freedom. I'm like, yeah, a lot of places have freedom. Just saying.
A lot of places don't, though. Bitch. About that.
That's how you say it?
Yep.
Bitch.
It is also Lemon Juice Day.
Oh.
I love lemon juice. I put it in my water.
Do you?
Fun fact.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a nice, cleans you out a little bit.
Yeah. My mom always did it as a kid, and now I do it as an adult, and it's, well, she did it when I was a kid. Yeah. And now I do it as an adult, and I find it delightful because it, you know, water otherwise doesn't taste that great.
I prefer oranges, and it's usually in my whiskey. But still, you know,
it's okay.
Same sort of thing.
Or you could go lime.
Yeah.
Which celebrity?
I've heard after like a bad night out eating and drinking, you're supposed to do some lemon water and kind of helps flush the system.
Which celebrities will be here for Portland Comic Con? It is next week.
Oh, Comic Con's next week, huh?
Convention Center.
We didn't get the invite this year?
No, we haven't been there in a couple years.
Sons of bitches.
September 6th through 8th. Now, it says here that British comedy duo Simon Pegg and Nick Frost are among the biggest stars.
Okay.
I don't know who that is.
They've been in a bunch of stuff. So, like, you ever see, like, the Shaun of the Dead movies? You don't remember that?
Nope.
If you saw Simon Pegg, you would know who he was.
He
was
there in, he is,
They made Hot Fuzz, Shaun of the Dead.
Yes.
What else am I missing? I think, that's the comedy duo that they made. But he was, like, in Mission Impossible as well. And he was in The Boys.
So wait, they're comedians or actors?
Well, they're actors.
Okay.
Yeah. But they make their movie. I think they make and write the stuff together.
Okay. Now, the other guy, I don't recognize him.
Again, if you'd watch those movies, he's the fatter one.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I can tell that.
Shaun of the Dead, my favorite of those movies.
Rosario Dawson will be here.
Ooh.
From Rent and Sin City.
How you doing?
You like her?
I do. She's fantastic. She was great in Zombieland Part 2. Big fan of Rosario Dawson.
Hayden Christensen will have the girls swooning.
And then a bunch of Star Wars nerds that yell at him for ruining.
They don't like him, do they?
Those movies, they were a bit rough. I don't know. Did you ever see any of those?
Nope.
His acting, how should we say, a bit wooden.
Does it matter? He's so damn handsome.
He is handsome, but, you know, that's...
Who else we have here? I see Patton Oswalt.
Oh, okay.
Will be here.
He's wonderful.
He is wonderful. Yeah. He's funny. He voiced Remy the Rat in Ratatouille. Yeah.
I kind of had that. I was like, why is he here?
Yeah, Remy the Rat.
Because he's a great stand-up, but I didn't really think Comic-Con, but that makes sense.
Also, John Cho from Star Trek.
Don't know him.
Also, Harold and Kumar go to White Castle.
Mm.
Stephen Michael Quezada, he was in Breaking Bad. Am I losing you here yet?
Well, yeah.
Dean Norris, also from Breaking Bad?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, Dean Norris was the DEA agent. He was great. He was Hank Schrader.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Dean Norris is awesome.
Mm-hmm. And they have a bunch of people, too, that are like, my son was into this for a while, like voice actors that people do, like voices of video games and different stuff, and, you know.
Yeah, I saw a feature on the SpongeBob guy. He was featured on Jane Pauley's CBS Sunday Mornings, which is just a delightful show.
Yeah.
And that's unbelievable. The career that he has made of just being SpongeBob.
The voice of SpongeBob.
Yeah, and people go ape bleep when they see him in public.
Like, yeah.
He is such a celebrity, and he's just a voice guy.
Yeah, my son likes... My son's a big gamer, and so like there's people now that do voices for like these series of video games, and they are they're a big deal. They're like, I mean, they're voice actors, and it's a big deal to some of the youngs. Oh, and I know who John Cho is now. That guy's been in a bunch of stuff too. That was one of those that you just like, if you saw him,
John Cho.
Yeah, he played Mr. Sulu, and he's been in. Right. I've seen him in plenty of stuff.
I mean, I feel like that's kind of what Comic-Cons are.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of people who's like, oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah. Can I be...
You sure can.
A little honest?
I want you to be very honest. Not just a little.
It's a little thin.
I agree.
Because we've been to Comic-Cons in the past.
I agree.
And I'm not poo-pooing anyone. I'm just saying that lineup right there, it's a little thin. In years past, we've had John Cusack.
Yeah.
We had Jason...
What? Sorry, William Shatner was there.
Yeah, we had the Shat.
We tried to get him on the show.
Yeah, it didn't happen. It
didn't work.
We had Adam West. We had Batman.
Yeah.
Who was Jason Momoa came one year, who, by the way, is just as handsome in real life.
Who was Lando?
Oh, yeah, we had Billy Dee Williams.
We had him on the show.
So, look, there's nothing wrong with any of the people here. I'm just saying, for what we had... This seems a little thin.
Look at you taking shots.
No, it's not taking shots.
Taking shots. Really mean digs.
It's just a little thin. Rosario Dawson, though. What are you doing?
The daughter of a former Major League Baseball pitcher who went missing was located in Klamath Falls, Oregon on Tuesday.
Whoa.
Brenna Swindell, daughter of Greg Swindell, was listed as missing and endangered out of Texas.
Huh.
So the Klamath Falls Police Department said they received an automatic license plate reader alert at approximately 12:30 a.m. This vehicle was flagged as stolen out of Texas. Patrol officers searched the area. They found the car. They say the officer continued to follow the vehicle and waited for an additional patrol unit before attempting to make a traffic stop. While waiting for the additional unit, the officers were notified that the vehicle was associated to Brenna Swindell, who is listed as a missing and endangered woman. They also learned she may be with her estranged boyfriend, 36-year-old Morgan Guidry.
Let me tell you, the last thing you want to be with when you're missing is the ex-boyfriend. That's not good.
Well, it's always the ex-boyfriend.
Always.
Isn't it?
Yeah, maybe a creepy uncle.
I mean, estranged.
Or a possible teacher, but yes.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You had me at estranged.
That's not good.
Morgan Guidry, and I was teasing that he's the son of Ron. He is not. But I just, you know, I thought that was...
Yeah, well, yeah, the Greg's...
I had to throw that in there.
Yeah.
And this guy had a felony arrest warrant for family violence.
Not good.
Officials say once the additional unit arrived, a high-risk traffic stop was conducted. They were both in the car. Guidry was taken into custody. He is in jail.
Did he kidnap her?
Felony warrant. Swindell was found unharmed, was able to call her parents and make travel arrangements to get back.
So we don't know if she was kidnapped or if she was just there with him?
But yeah.
Because he was arrested for other things.
They believe it's against her will, but they haven't released that yet.
Yeah.
Because she was not communicating with any of her family, including the fireballer, Greg Swindell.
Yeah.
And they are very happy. Greg released a statement saying they're very happy she's safe.
Well, I would also like to send a message to Greg Swindell. Look, what the hell, man? I was counting on you being a lot better with all my rookie cards.
Yeah, now that you got your daughter back, can we talk about you being overrated?
A little disappointing. Had a lot of hype coming out. Let's play the fun game of better career, Greg Swindell or
Greg Jeffries.
Greg Jeffries.
No, definitely Greg Jeffries, right? I mean, Jeffries was sneaky good. Swindell, I bet you he only played...
He played 17 years.
He did?
Jeffries played 14 years.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Swindell, total wins. I'm going to go 110.
Let's hear
it. Not even that.
122.
Oh, okay. ERA, career. Oh,
yeah, sorry, 123. It was 123 and 122.
Career ERA, 4.2.
Where does ERA go? 3.86.
Okay.
Pretty good. This is a valid question.
Pretty good.
Better career.
Greg Jeffries. Well, I need more stats.
Disappointing rookie card, but dude, that's pretty. 3.86.
That's pretty good.
And Jeffries hit like what? We did say like
289 or something. I'm going Jeffries. I think Swindell had the higher upside. Like he was. But I mean, you said Jeffries hit like 350 one year.
Yeah, he did.
What's Swindell's best
year? He hit 342.
Did Swindell even sniff a Cy Young?
Let's see what his best year would have been and what he pulled out. No.
What's his... Well, I mean, give me
his best year early in Cleveland, he went 18-14 with a 3.2 ERA.
Pretty good.
And 242 innings pitched. So many strikeouts he had. 180 strikeouts. Pretty good year.
Yeah.
It was a pretty good year.
I'll tell you what, I mean, pretty close.
He almost won 20 games, and, you know...
He almost lost 20 games,
well,
too.
Well, my guess... But I mean, that's a crappy run support.
Oh, look at you making excuses for the great Greg Swindell.
He had a 3.2
ERA. How about win games? Like Nolan Ryan.
Look, I'm just saying. I think this is a lot closer.
Wait.
You're starting to reconsider this.
Nolan Ryan had a lot of losses,
A lot of losses.
All right. Well, I guess we can't answer. It's the unanswerable question. Who is better, Greg Swindell or Greg Jeffries? Oh, no, I'm confused.
Yeah, they're
is
both
it
Greg? Yeah, they're both Greg.
Greg Swindell or Greg Jeffries' better career? Maybe there's our poll question tomorrow.
Yeah, that is the question. I will tell
you. Yeah, for Football Friday, the poll question should be who had the better career, Greg Swindell or Greg Jeffries?
I'll tell you what. Who was I more angry at with their rookie card? It was Greg Jeffries.
Were you?
Well, he was a Met.
Yeah. So you were watching him closely.
Well, I wanted him to be great. You know?
Let's be great, baby.
Yeah. And neither one was. But better than I thought.
All right.
Let's be great, baby.
Oh, by the way.
Let's be great.
Greg Swindell made an All-Star team.
Let's be great. Come on. Let's be great.
Really? That's another feather in his cap. Jeffries never did, right? Or
no,
he had to have.
Yeah. The one
that
year.
One year.
So both one-time All-Stars.
So they each made... God.
Yeah.
We're going to have to figure a way to solve this battle.
I know.
Rochambeau.
Who can we go to on this?
Yeah,
should we get Bill James on this?
Someone who's a teammate of both.
Yeah, we need someone. Like, who is the old ESPN or the USA Today writers we used to have on? It was local.
Bob Nightingale? Oh, Rob Nyer?
Yeah, Rob Nyer. Where's Rob Nyer?
He's around.
Yeah. I bet you Rob Nyer will answer that. Bob, your friend Bob Costas, maybe?
There we go.
That's
Wouldn't
a good
that
one.
Be awesome that if I text Bob Costas and I'd be like, hey, Bob.
I needed to be.
I know we haven't talked in a while, but yeah. I wanted to run something by you. Here's the scenario.
There's a big question we want to have you on the show to answer. Who was better, Greg Swindell or Greg Jeffries?
And then he's like, well, they didn't really even play the same position. So
it doesn't matter,
not the point, Bob.
Not the point, Bob. Does he duck us for that?
I hope not.
He can't answer
I think question. We got to ambush him with it. Get him on the line under false pretenses, maybe.
Someone has to answer this question.
All right. We have a hero 8-year-old, and he is a hero. That next on The Fan. You know, I know none of you care about this, but we do, so whatever.
And we're down a rabbit hole at this point.
Yeah, we're trying to decide who is better, Greg Jeffries or Greg Swindell.
And a reminder that this is in the news.
I know, but just hold on.
No, not for you. I know you know that.
Oh, yes, it's in the news. August 29, 2024. Just to answer this question, there's really only one entity that can truly answer this because it's so close.
Yes.
You mentioned career earnings. They were both good, but they played different positions. Somebody on the Vancouver Ford text line said, after yesterday's AI conversation, who is better? It seems like a perfect thing for AI to choose.
I didn't even think about that.
That's
but,
a great point.
Yeah.
And I went to, during the break, I went to ChatGPT.
Yeah.
And AI has chosen. Are you ready?
I am ready.
It says, because all I asked was who was better, Greg Jeffries or Greg Swindell. And it says, Greg Jeffries and Greg Swindell were both solid Major League Baseball players, but they played very different roles on the field, making direct comparisons very tricky. Here's a brief look at each player. So then it goes through all the stats and stuff. And then it circles back to the question, who is better? And it says, depends on what you value. If you need to choose between the two based on overall impact and longevity, Greg Swindell might have a slight edge due to his more extensive career and key contributions to both starting and relieving roles.
Look at that.
However, Greg Jeffries was an exciting offensive player, especially in his peak years.
So
they're giving the nod to Swindell based on a little bit more consistent over time.
Also, too. World Series champion with the 2001 Arizona Diamondbacks.
Who?
Swindell.
He also has a better WAR.
Yes.
By a lot.
Yeah. But Jeffries was a 2-time player of the week. Swindell, 1-time player of the week.
Oh, okay. Police say on Monday an 8-year-old child called 911 to report that their mother was driving recklessly and was looking for water to drive into.
Oh, gosh. At first, I was going to say, listen here, you little S. You don't rat out your mom. But, yeah, if your mom's like, hey, I want to drive into the river, you should probably dial 911.
Listen to this story. This is wild. The child notified police that the blue Subaru had been driven recklessly through red lights and was traveling eastbound on Beltline towards Springfield. I don't know how the kid knew that. But a Springfield officer positioned themselves in the gateway area in the event that the Subaru entered Springfield. Moments later, the Subaru passed the officer before briefly yielding at a red light and sped away. According to the Springfield Police Department, the car kept going southbound, dangerously weaving through traffic. Police say then the car made an abrupt stop in the middle of Pioneer Parkway and Q Street. The officer then learned that Cammie Sorensen, who is 43, she lives in Prineville, was the driver. They arrested her and safely took the child out of the back seat.
Oh, thank heavens.
She was logged and charged, lodged at the Lane County Jail and charged with reckless driving, eluding, and reckless endangerment.
Do we know why she was trying to drive into the water?
Having an episode or something?
Yeah, I don't know. How old was the kid?
8.
Yeah, that's a...
And he called the cops.
Good for the little kid, man.
Yes.
It's a bold move to rat out your mom, but
that's heroic. He might have saved both of their lives.
Absolutely.
That woman was
Not have this woman, like... You know, she probably shouldn't have the kid at this point.
Cammy?
Yeah.
Yeah, you probably lose the kid after that.
Sorry, Cam, but we're gonna need you to take the next few plays off.
I'm sorry.
To be honest with you, you might need to take a couple games off on this one.
That's in the news, August 29, 2024.
Now someone's asking, Greg Jeffries or Todd Zeal?
Oh, come on. Wait, that's a great question.
That is a great question. Don't think, like, someone's being an ass there, but immediately when I saw that, my first thought was, well,
I'm going to ChatGPT.
Got to figure out what Todd Zeal's all about.
I'll have an answer for you next. And the Hot 5 at 5. We've got college football tonight. Next on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.